exciting, and we're really, really happy to be here. We are The Gems, a band that we formed actually just a couple of months ago. It's been like a really intense and busy year for us, and we're here to talk about, what
how we've learned.
Exactly.
And how you build up, how you rebuild and regroup and, you know, start
and continue
over.
To dream big, as our name. the name of the... But first of all, a little quick introduction.
I'm Mona, I play guitar.
And bass.
And bass.
And my name is Garenika, and I'm the singer.
And my name is Emily, and I play the drums. So before... I mean, last year, we were all members of another band called Thunder Mother, which we have been... released four albums with. We have toured the world. We're going to talk a little more about that really, really soon. I mean, in the beginning of this year, we all left the band and started anew. But like I said, last year we played for like around 30,000 people at a festival in Germany called Wacken. So we just thought we were going to show you a little.
Yeah.
A little,
show you a little bit of our past.
How it looked like.
Here we go. Getting a ljud.
There should be sound.
There should be maybe. Some sound here, but... Okay.
We don't maybe have...
Maybe it would be nice.
Då måste jag avbryta allt.
Jag skiter det.
Yeah.
You, can, you hear it, you can find the sound on Spotify.
Yeah.
You can say it's driving
exactly. I think this was one of last year's big highlights, to play on such a big stage and big festival, and just to know that all the people were there to see us.
Yeah. At this time, it seemed like we had a really bright future in this band.
But Gania, can you tell us a little bit more about?
Yeah. So as Emily said, we were in Thunder Mother, and in this band we. We got to do a lot of different exciting things, and we really worked hard to build up that name, and we released four albums. The last album, Black and Gold, as you can see here, we released in August last year. We recorded it the same year, so it's been, we worked really, really hard on anything and everything Thunder Mother related. But the big highlight, besides the fact that we got to play the Louder stage at Wacken Open Air, which, for those who don't know, is one of Europe's biggest metal festivals. It's amazing, so if you get a chance, go. We also got the opportunity to support the band Scorpions on a two-month-long North American tour. So we started in Canada, and we finished in Vegas at Mandalay Bay, and it was amazing, and our, you know, a big dream for all of us to play arenas in North America. I mean, it was just bananas, the whole thing. And here you have a photo of that and us with the legendary band Scorpions. Yeah, so thank you. We're immensely proud of the fact of all the stuff that we accomplished in Thunder Mother, and how that has got us to where we are now, basically.
Yeah. So after this tour, we took some time off, and then it
Christmas.
Took a dramatic turn.
Yeah, we had a tour coming up in Europe, also with Scorpions, and then all this happened. So all of a sudden, we just left the band with this big arena tour in Europe coming up. I will try to explain why and not be too personal, but it's hard because it was mainly personal. And English is not my main language, so it's hard to put it in the right words. But what happened during the Christmas break was the guitarist of our previous band, she wanted to call me and Emily to a meeting, and I felt like something is going on. It doesn't feel good. And it turned out that she wanted to get rid of Garenika from the band. And she already planned to replace her with a new singer. And I mean, I want to be clear about there are two ways to have a band. Either you are a band and you are a democracy and you split all the free work you do, the unpaid work, as we did, as self-managed. You split all the money you earn and you're a democracy, as I said. Yeah. Or you are an artist who have hired guns, and that's totally fine too. And then you can decide everything yourself. But we joined as band members, and we were a democracy, and this was too much of a betrayal for us. So we decided to just quit the band, even though we had the biggest career opportunity of our lives with the European arena tour with Scorpions later the spring. And why is this even possible? Yeah, it's because that guitarist, she had trademarked the name, and it's you can't do anything then. We didn't even know she trademarked it, so. Yeah. Okay, that's why we suddenly quit the band. Even though we had the momentum that not everyone gets, this is the one in a million chance, and we were totally aware of that. But we chose to start our own journey instead because it was not possible.
Yeah,
to continue with this.
And this was the statement we put out. Here you can see us, like, after everything happened, we were, I mean, in shock. Like, really, all emotions at the same time, basically, because we all felt it was the right decision. And we all knew that we wanted to continue playing together and do something new. And so, in all that shock, we just said, like, let's just start with a rehearsal. So this is a photo from our first rehearsal as The Gems. We didn't even have that band name set yet. But no. I mean, we're smiling in this photo and look really happy, but we are more related to that dog guy over there, like in the middle of the fire, just trying to be calm and reload sort of thing. But yeah. We just immediately started. Like, there was no time to waste, basically.
No.
So what happened the first month?
Yeah, we worked really efficient. Within the first month, we had taken new band photos, which is, I mean, that came, it was a weird order now. We had our first writing session, so we started writing new material straight away. We went to our favorite place in Sweden for creative songwriting, which is Skara. Yeah. And we started writing with our friend Johan Randén. So we went to Skara. We then also booked a recording session for the first singles of this that we had created. Band photos. We also, at the time, we also people started reaching out to us as soon as we put out the statement. Labels started to reach out. So we were already kind of, we were fortunate. So we also know that this is not the case for everyone, but we are happy that whatever we did in Thunder Mother was, you know, shown through. Shined through my English gun. And people wanted to believe in us and work with us, which is super exciting. So we had a few labels reached out, and we booked our first show, which was actually here in Gothenburg at Pustervik. So a lot of things, and we decided on a band name.
Yeah, we did.
So that was eventually. Huge as well. That took, But yeah, within a month, we did all these things, and that's kind of how we've been working all year, too. Like, we just, you know, there's no time to waste. We know the opportunity that was taken away from us was huge and very unique. And we have the same mindset as we did in Thunder Mother. So we just took that energy that we had in that group and put it into this. And I feel very proud of all the stuff that we've accomplished so far, being that we started in January this year. So,
Yeah. So, we are back where it all began. Pustervik, Göteborg.
Yeah. We have a really good friend and supporter in Björn Strid. He's a singer of Soilwork and Night Flight Orchestra. and a real good friend to us. And he really inspired us to hit the ground running, basically. He had a tour planned with the Night Flight Orchestra in Scandinavia. And he actually invited us to be the second support band. He wanted to squeeze us in, even though the tour was already planned and set up. He wanted to have us on that tour. It was an honor to get that question from him. But we were, at the same time, we were totally broke because the year before 2022, our management fucked us over.
Yeah.
Sorry for that. he didn't pay us the whole summer. So the whole summer tour, we didn't get paid anything. And then we went to America to the tour and the U.S. tour, and we didn't earn anything over there because it's so obviously so expensive to go there. So we decided to join on the Pustervik show in Gothenburg because, the train tickets are only 200 kronor. It was that bad. It was that bad. But I really want to give a shout out to all the Studieförbund. I don't know the name in English, but for example, Studiefrämjandet, Bilda, ABF, Vuxenskolan, because for a new band, they can really help you. You can rehearse for free. You can. We applied for.
Like fundings for the travel expenses.
Funding, yeah. So they helped us to fund this this show, the travel expenses. So we're really happy for them.
Yeah, and it was a super fun show. Yeah. We were so happy to be back.
Yeah,
it was psychologically very good for us to just start playing straight away.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and. We have a photo here. You can see us with Björn to the right. And the other photo is us together with two members from Donna Canone, who also actually played in Thunder Mother years ago. So
yeah.
We have found really good friendship and with them. And it's amazing. We're sharing rehearsal room with them now. And it was just all really good vibes. And Georgia, the girl to the left... she's a really good graphic designer, so we asked her to make our band logo because any brand needs a good logo to build. So we had some couple of ideas for the logo. We knew that we wanted something easy, clear, and that would look really good on a t-shirt. Exactly. And after many suggestions, we had this one. And we tried to see how it would look on a tour, like a festival poster, to see if it really popped. Like we really tried everything with the logo to make sure it was fitting all yeah. over. So this one that you see to the right is a little bit too square, we thought, because if we make it more like a rectangle, how would you say that? Like, we wanted to make it a little less squarey so we could make it bigger on a poster. So the final one was this, in many different shapes, colors. Yeah. Not different shapes, but we're really happy with the logo.
Yeah. And if you're curious, I forgot to mention, but the band name came from, it's our initials. So it's G-E-M. Basically. That's why we landed on the gems, because we also felt that showcases like our, you know, we're a true team and a band and we're all in this together on equal terms. So we feel like that also shows in the name that it's all of us.
Exactly.
And yeah, and I think that if for any band that's like looking for a logo or, you know, trying to figure out that stuff, this is actually a really good idea to just put it in a festival logo to see if it pops, because we hadn't really thought about that, but a friend of ours gave us the idea. And I think that that's actually really smart, because even if your band logo is really, you know, you're new and it's down there, you still want people to see it and it's going to, you know,
Did you
be
see
easy
it?
To read.
Yeah,
did you?
Did you find it?
Okay, good. Then we manifesting that line up that now.
Yeah. Yeah, so the business part of it all.
Yep, business, business. I mean, playing music is what we love to do, and that's why we do this. But being in a band is so much more than just, as I think most people in here know, there's so much more to it than just playing music. And we've been really adamant that from day one, we have our Monday meetings at 10 in the morning. You don't have to have that early, but we like to have structure and we just mentally feel very so much better if we have some structure and know what's going on. So we're not so much a mañana, mañana type of band. We're more like get shit done and move on. So we have used certain things like Trello is something that Mona introduced to the band. To, yeah, you know, structure and know where we're at and, you know.
I worked with, like, programming. I worked at Spotify and we worked Agile. And I cursed my friends, my bandmates with Trello.
You blessed us with this.
I really like it.
It's actually, and it's something that we would recommend to anyone that wants to have more structure. Because being a band today, you're basically your own, it's a startup. You're an entrepreneur. You have to do everything and anything. And that's something that we take really serious. But everyone is good at different things. Like Mona just said, she's our tech chick. You know, she does all tech stuff and she's really good with that. Emily's amazing with cutting videos. She's done all our music videos, like, you know, cutting them and all that creative stuff. And I take care a lot of the social media and I like to talk, so I do a lot of interviews. But yeah, so everyone is like does what they're good at, so that way it never feels like you have a crazy workload and you divide it up and have, you know, a nice equal structure that nobody's just riding along and, you know. So yeah, anything else I should say about the business side?
It's just that it's just a small
And also one thing that we started straight away, and this is also because as a musician, you kind of, you know, you have to hustle and start, you know, make money in different places. So we started up a Patreon, like from day one, and that's been such a good thing for us. The Mona takes care of the Patreon too, and that actually allowed us to buy our first backdrop, and you know, so I would recommend bands to have a Patreon too.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to.
Yeah.
We post early news. We have monthly hangouts with the fans and tell them about what we are working on. We show them music videos in advance before they are released. They get to listen to stuff before things are released. So they get exclusive content and insights, and we hang out with. Yeah,
you can join our Patreon if you want.
Exactly. I mean, another part of the business thing is, I mean, the contract things. Oh. I mean, labels and other. There's so many. You need to be like.
Oh yeah, that's
aware of a lot of things.
Exactly. I forgot one of my points here. So my bad. But yeah, being that it is a business and you have to, you know. You need to be more smarter about everything. It's not just about the music. You have to think about the contracts and the people around you and who you work with and all this stuff. And that includes people that push you to want to, you know, sign deals very quickly. That's something we had to learn the hard way in Thunder Mother because we did have bad people around us. But those lessons have now obviously got us to this point. So we don't do those mistakes again. But we would love for everyone in here to know that if anyone is pushing you to sign something really quickly, that's a huge red flag. A professional person is going to allow you to go and talk to your lawyer and have them check all the paperwork before you sign anything. So please, if they want you to sign it that night, then that's not something you should sign. That's just a bullshit person and it's not, no, it's just a waste of time. So please take that with you. Yeah. It's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a little movie because we did take our time this time to choose a label. Do you want to tell about that process, Mona?
Yeah, we, as Ganika said, we learned a lot from our time in Thunder Mother, and we did a big mistake in Thunder Mother when signing the record deal. We had a management back then, and the management, they dealt with the contract and the record label. So they got us this deal with a German big record label, and what we found out later was that they made this deal on their own benefits. So instead of pushing the numbers to the artist's advance, like the percentage you get from the sales from the physical albums, it's you should push those numbers up, because that's where the artist makes money. But instead they pushed the advance payment. So they made this deal, so we got this huge advance. And what the management did, they took out advance payment, and that's a loan. So you take out a loan to record music videos, for example. And that's what they did. And their management deal said they will get 20% out of all the money we make. So they could take out a huge amount of money in advance and just put 20% right into their pocket straight away. And it's the artist who needs to pay it back with royalty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a money machine for the management and a black hole of debts.
Yeah.
For us.
Huge.
So we really wanted to get a good record deal this time, and we got a deal pretty early from an independent rock label, and that was actually quite good, and we took help from Musikerförbundet. It's the musicians' union, and I can really recommend to be a member of Musicians Union, because if you are a member, you can get free help from
legal advice.
Yeah. Mm. So we took all the help we could from the Musicians Union.
Yep.
And they looked through the contracts. We pushed up the numbers as high as we could. And then another record label approached us, Napalm. So we sent all the numbers to them and asked, can you match these numbers, or can we get higher numbers? Can we better get a better deal from you? And a few weeks after, a third label contacted us, and we did the same thing, just put the deals against each other's, ask them to match the numbers. And in that way, we ended up with a very good deal for us as artists at Napalm, and we are really happy about that.
Yeah. And also, can I just add
yes.
that the when they tried to get you, like, because we had one label that was like literally throwing money at us, but
advance
it's all yeah
money.
The advance payment. That it's yeah, just yeah. that's just something that you have to pay in the end. So it doesn't matter how much money we. That's why we were like, okay, we'd rather have a smaller advance, so we actually can start getting, you know, paid for the album eventually, and you know, see money from this one point in time, instead
yeah.
of like. Having this huge loan with the label and never see anything, and you know,
yeah, like
be in
you
debt
should
forever.
We asked them to raise the percentage of the digital royalty, for example. Like, can we get the higher percentage of the streams? And they got back to us again, like, oh, you can get 50,000 euros in advance. No, it's not a better deal. Still, you know.
But it's like I feel like they try to push, because a lot of musicians don't know these things, and you see a number like, oh my god, we can use this for the album and da-da-da, instead of like, ooh, that's actually a really shitty loan. So don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. When we finally signed, we could start the work to release our first single.
Yeah.
And no, sorry about the sound, but this is a little snippet from the music video.
You heard it in the beginning.
Yeah. it was so exciting because we were kind of eager to have some music out, like at least one song, so we could exist on Spotify and all these platforms.
And so that was really nice. We released that as a, like a little standalone single.
Yeah, mm. And we did it ourselves, the video. Mickey yeah. here filmed it and Emily cut the video.
So and Gustav filmed this Gustav. One.
Yeah, and Gustav filmed it too.
We have good people around us, so that's really helpful when we are such
Absolutely.
A broke band.
Saves a lot of money too.
Yeah. And I mean, then it was obviously time. I mean, this whole spring, we have been writing new music. Like that was one of the first things we did as a band, and that's one of the things we continued to do the months after. We were writing more songs in Skara with Johan, who ended up being the producer for the whole album. And we wrote with other songwriters as well, and we wrote ourselves with each other. And then we booked studio time in Skara, in Nordic Sound Lab. And we had two really intense, fun, like creative weeks, basically. I mean, it was, I mean, we have released four albums earlier, so...
Yeah.
I mean, the new thing this time was that it was us three and we could actually do whatever we wanted, basically. Like, it was so much fun to just experiment with choirs, different, like, backing vocal notes.
Yeah.
We did some crazy things.
Yeah, but we're definitely more creatively free in this band, which is also a huge plus and makes it so we all feel very excited about music again. And that's
yeah.
huge. You know,
yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. So we created our little baby in the studio.
Yeah.
And I mean, after that, we still had a lot of things to do.
Yeah. I mean, the work never ends. And I think, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but the fact that we've decided to also do everything so quickly and use this year that I think most people would have used to like heal from a trauma that we went through, we put all our like anxiety into working and building up this thing, and also we felt that the momentum that we had the right to in the previous band, that we had, you know, pushed ourselves to the limit to gain, we then felt that okay we are not allowed to be there, but we're gonna have that, we have the same right to that momentum, and that's why we have also pushed ourselves so hard to be like, we're here, don't forget about us. We never meant to stop anything. And so that's also part of our story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we the album is finished and we need to take more band photos because it's important with content and good photos. So this is the photo that we used that then became or will be our album cover photo.
Yeah.
And... I don't know, what can I say about this photo per se?
This is before and...
Yeah, this is before and this is how our album cover turned out. We, as a band, are heavily influenced by how Kiss does have done their things throughout the years. And we had the Destroyer cover. We don't have a photo of it here, but you can look it up. That kind of as an inspiration for this idea of like... being like this epic, like superhero vibe we like. And we really like the idea of, you know, being a band, when you're on stage, you have a stage look. Like you have, it's more of a, it's part of the show to have a cohesive look and present yourself so you also feel more like, now we're here on stage, we're performing. You like go into that mode, and I think that you can see that very clearly here, that we
we're a unit
and we like that. And we named the album Phoenix, and because a phoenix, as you guys know the story probably, but it rises from the ashes, and that's kind of how we feel, that we've risen from the ashes of our past band. And, you know, rebuilt, and we're stronger than ever, and colorful, and happy, and excited for the future. So, yeah, that's why our album is called Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, 26th of January will be out, and we...
Yeah.
Really
save the
so
date,
excited.
26th of January.
Yes. A question we always get is, who plays the bass?
Who plays
in
the bass?
Band? Yeah.
I actually play the bass on the album. So I play both guitar and bass. And live, we hire a musician who plays as just like Kiss. Kiss also has hired guns, so and that's very common for bands too. Like maybe the three out of all band members, they are the band members, and they have hired musicians live. But you present yourself as a band. But we have a very special story, and we work very well together. And you know, it's a full-time job that we do every day with the economy and the decision making and PR and cutting videos. So we take in a hired gun, and they get paid every show, just like I got paid when I played with Ola Salo, for example. Ola Salo takes the decisions, and I'm just a musician, and I get paid for that.
Yeah. Mm. And you know this from the beginning, so you never have to feel like you're hoping for something else. You can be really happy, this is a job, and it can be really exciting. And yeah, and I think that that's something that we... I know a lot of people ask us about this thing all the time, and but we don't see it as something negative, because the important thing is to be honest and upfront with your intentions. And our intentions is to have eventually a permanent hired gun, just like Scorpions. Kiss, like all the bands that people love and know, they have that. And for some reason, it seems very strange that we decided to do this and be very honest about it. But for us, it's just, we see it as a great opportunity for someone to be part of a really fun group of people. And also, you know, get to do the fun stuff, and then we take the workload, and that it just, I don't know, it's something that we feel is very important and nothing weird at all. Mm. And also, the reason we have the brands as part of this thing here now is because, like Mona said, Mona is a guitar player, and that's her instrument since she was a child. But in Thunder Mother, she did us a favor and learned how to play bass. And she is an extremely talented musician. So within within a month or something, she already had sponsor deals from EBS and Sundby, which obviously we want to take care of these deals, because that's also part of business. You have to take care of your sponsors and stuff like that. And so that's why Mona plays it and will play the bass always on our recordings. And I think that's really awesome that we keep that alive, and then we're not going to force our bassist to have Sundby and stuff live, but there's an opportunity there because of our already relationship with those brands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, all our sponsors has chosen to stay with us in this new project, and we're really thankful for that. And talking about support, like... we also pretty quickly got a question from a bunch of people, like, can we start a fan club for you? And we were just like, hell yeah, of course. And so they decided to call it Diamonds, because the gems is kind of a diamond, I guess.
Yeah. Gemstone.
Yeah, gemstone. And yeah, we're just really, really happy for all the continued support we've gotten from the fans that we had from our previous band and everything. And I mean, it's important that we, you know, you take care of your business relationships and everything, but what comes down to the most important thing is the fans. Like, without our fans, we would be nothing. Like, we would have no one to play for. And we always feel like when we play live, the fans is another member of the band, basically, because we need that energy on stage. We love it, and we love to meet all the people that, you know, that gets really happy from our music.
And they're part of our journey too. They're part of the Gems family, and they decided to be the Diamonds. So it's pretty amazing, and we're very grateful that there's people out there that want to help us in any way they can and help us vote for us in competitions and stuff. Yeah.
They made us these notebooks. It's really cute.
Yeah. They're amazing. Really amazing. Yes, but I mean,
We do maybe have one more important thing. Than
yeah, the most important thing is that we have each other, and as I mentioned, this year has been very tough on all of us mentally. Like, our mental health has been very, you know, but we have each other, and we have each other's back. We can pull each other up when we are crying, because it's been a very, very traumatic experience. Maybe in the future we'll release a book or something about this, but for now we're just doing our best to, you know, stay focused on the bigger goal, which is to have a career in music and live off of music. But yeah, we've had each other, we've stuck by each other, and it wouldn't have been possible if we didn't have the friendship and the bond that we have. We are all very grateful that we've had each other, because if not, I would have gone into a huge depression, to be completely honest. And I'm happy that we channeled all of that negativeness into something positive, which is the gems and the future of ours. I feel like it's feeling very bright, and finally we all feel very happy about music again, and excited for the future, and excited to do experiencing touring in a loving, caring setting. So it's amazing that we have each other, and that we've dealt a lot with the pain by laughing. Yeah. And yeah, so I think the relationships, that's what you should take with you, that it's important to build and be around people that you trust and feel comfortable with, because without that, it's not even possible to... I mean, you can fake it. We did fake it for 7 years. But you can, you know, it's going to take a toll on you eventually. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. It's us. We're together.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought we could... Do we have any questions?
Yeah, we thought if you have any questions, then please go ahead. No.
You can ask us afterwards. Yeah, too.
Yeah. We'll stay here for a while.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The 26th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest party ever. No, but yeah, it's on the release day, the 26th of January, and it's gonna be in Stockholm.
Yep. Kollektivet Livet.
But there will be a release tour also, but it's not really done yet, all the bookings. But we have...
We've booked Helsingborg.
Yeah, Tivoli, Helsingborg.
Yeah.
And
so the 26th of January in Stockholm at Kollektivet Livet. Tickets will be out soon, I think. Then we have the 2nd of February, we're doing Tivoli, Helsingborg. And Gothenburg, we're trying to figure out as we speak. So... check our socials for all that information.
Yeah.
And we're going to actually play the whole album from beginning to end with interludes and everything. So it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
Because
what we realized when we left the band was that we were never, ever really, really band members. Like, for real. She never had that intention of sharing the whole band with anyone else. So we would have wanted her to be more front, you know, clear from the beginning that this is my band, I will be the boss, and I will hire you as musicians in this band, and you will get, this is a job.
And also work accordingly. Like, I feel like she was kind of just, we just were used for so many years, and we did a huge workload. Like, we did most of all the stuff that we've told you about here today. So I think that, yeah, if we would have had more honesty and clearness about us being supposedly hired guns, that would have been awesome. But I think for me, it's just, I wish that I had the, I wish that I had the guts to just leave on my own, because mentally last summer we were all about to basically... Gwyn I väggen.
Hit the wall.
Yeah, man, we were about to get burned out, because it is extremely draining to work with a person that treats you horribly and for so many years, and this mental...
Illness.
Nej, vad heter det? Vad heter det? Jag tänker på att... I can't. My words are out. Vad heter det? Att man är... psykisk misshandlad, helt enkelt. mentally abused for years and years, then you're kind of in this bubble of like, because I honestly, I thought that being this mistreated was the price I had to pay for these opportunities that came my way through this band and my hard work in the band. But now that I can look back on this year and see that you never had to pay that price, and you should have loved yourself more to know to get out of a really toxic situation earlier. But it's easy to sit and say that now, because I'm very like, I don't ever give up on things. So I could have probably like died alongside her if she didn't do this. So I'm kind of like, I'm grateful that she
did it for you.
Yeah, she did it for me, but I wish that I had had more confidence in what we have together to start earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. We need to wrap this up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.